clap.
The following message
Hallelujah.
From Bible teacher and pastor
right.
Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I want you to look at the book of Mark chapter 16 to a familiar portion of scripture here. And Mark chapter 16, I know you know this verse, but I believe this verse, and we need to continue to keep this verse in front of us. Mark 16, this is after the resurrection, just before Jesus leaves the earth, after he's taken back up. And it says in verse 14 of Mark 16, he said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at dinner or at meat. And he upbraided or chided them because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. So that's a sad commentary, you know, just before Jesus goes, after he was raised from the dead and things, and some people saw him risen, you know, he chastised them, man. He said, you should have believed those. I told you I was coming back. I told you I was going to raise from the dead. Huh? Somebody said, man, if that was me, I would have believed. Well, you know what? Well, we got to believe what he's told us now. We got to believe everything that he said. Amen. And then he said to them these words, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Where are we supposed to go? All the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now those verses of scriptures right there have created the have been like a bow and arrow of some great missionary callings and goings because of those words that Jesus spoke right there. Go ye into all the world. I love it because he didn't just say, somebody go. He said, you go. Did he? He personalized it. So I can't read the Bible without realizing I am a missionary. I am called to be a missionary. If you read the Bible, you are called to be a missionary. You are called, I know there's a couple ways to be a missionary. But really, it boils down to only two. You either go or you send the goers. But what I think he would be satisfied with this today if we simply said, every believer is called by God to either be a goer or a sender, but all of us are called to be missionaries. We're called to go into the world. Once we get the good news, we cannot hold on to the good news. The good news somehow made its way from the upper room, from the day of Pentecost, 2,000 plus years ago. And somehow on the day when I heard the gospel, first time when those two guys came to my door, you know how much money it cost missionaries to hand off the baton generation after person for the gospel to get to those two young men that brought me the gospel initially. And then, but somehow the gospel made its way from the upper room in Jerusalem to my dorm room on the fifth floor of Drackett Tower on the north campus of Ohio State University in 1972. The gospel, somebody believed Mark chapter 16 and believed that we are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every believer is a missionary. And until we stop segregating who the missionaries are, I think the gospel's growth and the expansion of the gospel will be in some way most limited. I'm telling you today, you're a missionary and I am a missionary, however that works out. Amen? We got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at the book of, look at Mark chapter 5. Let me show you something. I know you know this part too. This is the story of Legion. Shout out loud, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary. I'm going to read a bunch of scripture here. Let's just start at chapter 5, verse 1 to set the context. They came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs. Out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. You know, there, until we realize there's people that live like this. This man needed a missionary. This man that dwelt among the tombs, he needed a missionary. Everywhere in the world today, whether I spit out the front door of this place, there's people right around us that need a missionary. If I go to the mall today, there are people at the mall that need a missionary. There's people in this neighborhood over here that need a missionary. There's people in Cambodia that need a missionary. There's people in China today that need a missionary. There's people today in Canada that need a missionary. There's people in Russia today that need a missionary. There's people today, you know, we used to deal with the Iron Curtain before the communism fell. It used to be difficult to get the gospel in there. But they needed a missionary. We've heard from Ingolf Schmidt, who was behind the Iron Curtain in Germany, and man, he needed a missionary. Somebody got the gospel to him. I'm telling you, in the poorest parts of the world, they need a missionary. But in the richest part of the world, they need a missionary. Every Fortune 500 corporate executive needs a missionary. Somebody's got to be the feet of the gospel and take the gospel to the world. How shall they believe unless they hear? And how shall they hear unless somebody preach? And how shall somebody preach unless they're sent? Everybody needs a missionary. And my missionary were those two guys that came from Campus Crusade. And then Mike Templin, my friend, went up into the mountains in Tennessee after getting drugs, and he went to that little mountain church. Well, that little mountain church was a type of missionary to me. Amen. I don't know who built that church, but I bless them. And I give God thanks for them. Verse 4, because this man had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Look at what he was doing. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. You know what? There's people that are bound by sin. They hate life. They hate their very existence. And he's cutting himself as a sign of almost a plea for isn't there more than what I've got to deal with here? He cut himself, and nobody could tame him. You know, you can't tame the devil. You can't tame the devil once he gets in people. You can't tame sin. The only hope for somebody like Legion here is a missionary. The only hope is somebody with a missionary heart that says, I care. See, because you can't become a missionary until you become a caring person. until God breaks your heart with what breaks His. Until you begin to feel what maybe Legion felt. What would it feel like to be bound with chains and then every day your existence was among the dead? What a futile existence. And he'd break the chains and he would cut himself and he would cry day by day by day among the tombs. And what Legion needed was a missionary. But in order to be a missionary, you got to care. And I want to challenge this church today to remember that this is not just, you know, the goal of our ministry is not to see what kind of, how large an aquarium for fish we can build. The goal of our church is to create a caring population of people that understand we are called to be missionaries. Until we understand that every day I'm a missionary. Somebody said, I don't have any purpose in my life. Well, I'm giving it to you today. You've got purpose today because there are broken people all over the world. And as long as our church becomes a church that goes and either goes or sends, or God's will would be to do both. I want to be a goer sender, but I want to be a caring person so that I can turn into a missionary. I'm telling you, you got to care about the world. You got to care about the world that's beyond yourself. Amen. He was always day and night in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. Verse 6. But, you know, a missionary came. A missionary came. A missionary shows up. He was crying. He was... The man cried every day and cut himself with stones and bound and he was unclothed and out of his mind. But a missionary came. His name was Jesus. Jesus was the first and greatest missionary that ever lived. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. He was so glad the missionary came. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you don't torment me." You know what he was praying was, the Legion was praying, "I pray that you're not here to make things worse for me by just telling me how bad I am." I'll tell you, the missionaries always got good news for the afflicted and the bound and the desperate. Hallelujah. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him and said, "What is your name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You know, Legion, this was just talking about demons that were inside this man. But the world's got a lot of people got a lot of problems, man. People got a lot of issues today. You know, it's complicated to be a missionary because it's complicated to try to solve the world's problems. There's so many aspects to trying to help somebody. You know, like in Cambodia, you know, we weren't just trying to preach the gospel, but we're trying to get them in a position where they can hear the gospel first by putting food on their table and putting clothes on their back or giving them a goat. Sometimes you got to give somebody a goat before you can preach the gospel. You've got to give them a goat or give them a bike or get a doctor to say, "Ah," so that their family can be open to hear the gospel. It's complicated to take the gospel, and Ashley will tell you, into a nation of Buddhism that's bound by Buddhism and blinded by the spirit of Buddhism. There's many, you know, every one of those devils was an obstacle to the missionary and his purpose. But the missionary said, "I'm here to help you." And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was near the under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into these swine so that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He cast them out. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. That's how bad the... Now listen, man, if that's what would happen as soon as they got in those hogs, what was happening inside that man? It's hard to imagine human being that tormented. But I'll tell you, when you become a missionary, when you pray, you quit praying such selfish prayers. And we pray and say, our greatest prayers, God, help me feel what it feels like to have those devils. God, help me feel what it feels like to be raised in a Buddhist family, in a Buddhist nation, in a godless place, in a war-ravaged place without much. You got to care. You got to feel this thing. And I thank God the missionary felt that. Hallelujah. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And they saw him. This is the change that's made by missionaries. Listen to me. They saw that man that formerly was cutting himself and bound and sick with sin. They saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray that missionary to depart out of their coast. They didn't understand the missionary, did they? And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, the man that was sitting in his right mind that got free because a missionary came. He told Jesus, he said, look, I have the purpose for the rest of my life now. I just want to be with you. I just want to hang out with you because I love you, because nobody, I thought I'd be like this forever. But when you came and you delivered me. And so I'm asking you, I have a prayer, Jesus. Can I just spend the rest of my life being with you? Now that sounds like a prayer that Jesus would say, amen, that's exactly what I want. It's the kind of people I want around me. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus wouldn't let him. Jesus wouldn't answer his prayer. You know why? Because the missionary wanted another missionary. The great missionary himself, the great God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Jesus himself, the greatest missionary in all the world, had to say no to a man that prayed the prayer, I just want to be with you. And he, you know what he was saying? You can't. You can't. You know why? Because there's other people that need you. I got to multiply my missionaries. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus suffered him not and said unto him, he said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he has had compassion on you. The missionary said, I need you now to be a missionary. I got saved in 1973 because those missionaries brought the gospel to me. And I just would have been satisfied if all I could have done is hang out with Jesus, the one the missionaries told me about, the great missionary. But Jesus said to me, and Jesus is saying to us today, I'm glad you got saved. I'm glad you found what you found. But don't you ever forget that not everybody knows about me yet. And even those, many of those that have heard, they have not been converted yet. And so you got to go for me and tell your friends. And you got to tell them what great things I have done for you. The missionary said, I need another missionary. I need you to go. Now, here's the, okay, so look, let's go to the book of Genesis. And I'm gonna read out of the New Living Translation here in Genesis chapter 8. I want to show you what I really believe God gave me this. Genesis chapter 8. This is Noah, and he has built the ark. The ark is salvation. The ark is an Old Testament picture of salvation. And you know the story, man. The only people that get saved are the people that come to salvation, that get on that ark. And only, think about, out of all mankind, there were 8 people. You know, Noah was a missionary. Noah was great. Noah, we tell about Noah building the boat. But the boat meant nothing unless somebody told him to get on that boat. And you know, for over 100 years, you know, Noah, I'll use this loosely. He had a Bible in one hand. He had a message in one hand. He had a missionary's message in one hand to that wicked generation. The Bible says there was every imagination of men's hearts and minds. All they thought about was wicked continually. This is not the first generation of a wicked generation here that we're in here. It really was worse in Noah's time. And Noah was a missionary. He had a message in one hand and a hammer in another hand. And he would use that hammer for a while, and he'd beat the nails into the wood of that boat. And then he cut some wood. He put it together. Took him over 100 years to build that boat. You know, it takes, you know, God was getting Noah. He was spending a lot of his life being a missionary. Listen to me. And the thing was, Noah was a missionary. And I feel, you know, the greatest pressure on a preacher or anybody in ministry, whatever your ministry is discouragement. It's the greatest enemy today. I'm telling you, preachers are discouraged. Because, we'll do anything. If you get called by God and you really have a touch from God and a call from God, you'll do anything. We'll obey God. That's not the point. But the difficult thing's not the work. Doing what we do is not the work. Here's the work. Is feeling like what we do isn't mattering enough. Does anybody care about what I do? In other words, if I didn't do it, would anybody even know? You feel, preachers do. I mean, I've talked to them, man. And I are one. You can get to the place you feel invisible. Does it really matter? Because people have a way of making you feel that way. Because that's what apathy does. When it seems like nobody cares. When folks don't come to services, and I mean, it's just at large for preachers. This is what you feel like, man. When people don't get involved, when people won't work, and that's what you feel like. It doesn't matter. When there's any empty seats, every seat screams, it doesn't matter that much. But Noah preached to the most wicked generation, and God wanted him to. And don't you think that God in his sovereignty knew? You know how many people listened to Noah? I'm going to use my famous this. Close your eyes right now. Close them real tight. What do you see? That's how many salvations Noah saw. But God needed him to be a missionary. And he preached the gospel. The gospel to them was, I'm building a way out of what's coming. I'm telling you, if you get on this boat that I'm building, I know you think this sounds crazy. This is too good to be true. But it's going to start raining pretty soon. And every living thing is going to die unless they get on that boat. That's the message of the missionary. You got to get on the boat. You got to know about the boat. And our boat today is Jesus Christ, is knowing Christ and knowing the gospel and knowing the power of God to set you free. You got to get on that boat. You got to get on that boat. That's what Noah's message was. Did he have any tape series? Yeah, they all were the same though. Get on the boat. Get on the boat. Forget about what you think's important. What I'm telling you is you got to build your life near the boat. And then when the boat's finished, you got to get on the boat. You got to get on the boat. That's what we're telling people. That's what I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing, telling them, get on the boat. I'm going to tell them through every ministry and every organization and with all my life and with every dollar I've got, I'm going to be telling people to come to Christ. Come to Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the only hope. He's the only way. And in that, we're going to deal with all their issues, man. We're going to buy bikes and toys and build houses and build churches and whatever it takes. Buy medicine. You know, sometimes giving a sick person penicillin, man, is part of the gospel. But the most important message at the end of the day is we got to tell people to get on that boat. And Noah preached. God put all of his power and all his resources in Noah. And Noah preached for 100 years. And, you know, every time if I get discouraged, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's the greatest battle that every minister I've ever known faces is discouragement. The discouragement, trying to get your courage out of you. And there's nothing that takes it away like apathy when it seems like this doesn't matter. I'm like, and if I get tempted to be discouraged, man, I always think about Noah. This great missionary that was called to the world, he preached every day for 100 years and had not one convert. But at least God was just and he obeyed God and he sent him. So, you know, Noah preached. I mean, you know, 8 people were on the boat, but that was like his family. So one guy said it this way. I thought this was cool. You know who got to ride on the ark? Only the people that worked on it. That's a good, I've used that thought. I've used that in leadership lessons about involvement. You know who rides on the boat? Only people that help get it built. That helped me get my hammer shine back up again. Let's just read this. This is New Living Translation, verse 1. Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah. How many know he remembers you? God knows you. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. So they're all in the boat. The water's... Everybody else is dead. The 8 people and Noah and all the animals that were on that boat are the only living things left on the earth. The water got up to the mountaintops, covered the mountains. You know that story. So Noah's still on the boat and he's waiting, you know, he's waiting for the right time to get off the boat. God remembered Noah and all the animals. He sent a wind to blow across the earth and the flood waters began to recede. The underground waters stopped flowing and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the flood waters gradually receded from the earth. After 150 days, How many know to be a missionary, you got to understand it's going to take a while. If you need, you know, your missionary efforts, it took Noah 100 years to build that boat. It rains 40 days, kills everything. Listen, man, I would have wanted off that boat the first time that when it stopped raining. To be a missionary, you got to understand that the purposes and things of God take time. Everything takes time that's in God. You got to be patient being a missionary. You got to be a missionary. You got to be sold out to it. You can't just be, in Noah's case, you can't just be sold out to being a missionary when the results are there. You can't be sold out being a missionary and be in a hurry, because the law of seed time and harvest takes some time. Yes. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the top of the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he'd made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat. And Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. I preach a message on that. The dove represents peace. You got to follow your peace. But you send your peace out. If your peace comes back to you, then don't get off that boat yet. How do you know the will of God? Send your peace out. Send your dove out. And if the dove doesn't come back, that's where to go. I sent my dove to that girl right there 41 years ago. He never came back. I sent my dove out to a lot of other girls. He came right back. So it returned to the boat. Noah held out his hand, drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. And this time it did not come back. Noah was now 601 years old. You know, somebody said, I'm too old to be a missionary. No, Noah was 600 years old. You're not too old for anything. I curse that thing. I curse that thought. I curse that idea. I curse the concept of I'm too old or I'm too young. I curse both of them. We need every living thing to be a missionary. I need every dad to be a missionary. I need every mom to be a missionary. I need every grandma to be a missionary. I need every grandpa to be a missionary. I need everybody in kindergarten to be a missionary. I need everybody in high school to be a missionary. I need everybody that I can get my hands on to be a missionary. He was 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the flood waters had almost dried up from the earth. I'm getting to my key verse. It's coming. And Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by. And at last the earth was dry. Here is my verse. I was reading this while I was on that airplane. And I heard in my heart, at 37,000 feet over somewhere. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat. All of you. Here's my word today. Leave the boat. You can't be like Legion and pray the prayer and say, Jesus, all I want to do is hang out in the ark or around the ark or at salvation. You did so much for me. I'm going to live my life around the boat. Well, God's got a word for you. After you get saved, that's what happened to Noah. He was saved. God gave him a word. And here was the word. Leave the boat. You know how many people get saved and they stay on the boat? They just get saved because they're so happy they got saved. I mean, I get the temptation. It's like Legion. I want to stay with you. I want to stay on the boat. That boat, man, it saved my life. Everything else died, but I got saved by the boat, by the cross, by the message of salvation. Because I got on the boat, I got saved. And we just want to stay on the boat and enjoy our salvation. I got a word for you today. You can't stay on the boat. Because this is what he said. Leave the boat. Okay. Somebody said, well, that was just a word for you. I got you on the next part here. Leave the boat. All of you. Everybody on the boat that gets saved by the boat is called by God to leave the boat. I was sitting on that plane. I'd met the lady next to me, man. And as we were flying, the Spirit of God came on me. And he said, I want you to leave the boat. Jesus, the missionary, came to you. But you and all the rest that have been on that boat with you, you got to leave the boat. You got to leave the boat. You can't leave the boat with your legs until you leave the boat in your heart. I don't mean walk away from salvation. That's the opposite. But God was telling him something. You're not called just to get saved by the boat and then be a boat rider or a boat sitter for the rest of your life. By the way, the boat's not even floating anymore. The wind came on. That's what the church is like. Like we act like we're just floating along. We're on the ark of salvation, but we're sitting on dry ground. And God, the sign that Noah was supposed to get off the boat is that the judgment, which was the water that killed everything, that judgment's gone now. And so now it's time for you, because there's going to be more people that are born now. So leave the boat, all of you. Put that verse back up there for me, sweetheart. You and your, all of you, you, your wife. Sarah, you got to get off. You got to leave the boat, baby. I know you thought it was hard being with a boat builder. But then you got to live with a boat leaver. You and your wife, your sons, their wives. I would get the temptation to stay. I would hug. Man, if I was on that boat, I'd hug every piece of wood that Noah cut down and built that ark. Oh, this saved me. This saved me. This rescued my life. That's exactly what happens in the church. You know, we start worshiping the church. The experience of just what happened to us. And all we, and you know what? While we're playing church, worshiping at the boat, having boat worship. The rest of the world is crying like Legion did for a missionary. Somebody come. Somebody come. God, do you have anybody that cares enough to spend whatever it takes, to pay whatever price, to stay as long as it takes, maybe 100 years. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a boat builder. No, I mean, one of the heroes of my Bible, I'm serious, man, is Mrs. Noah. No, Mrs. Noah didn't get the vision. She didn't get the report from God. But Noah came in one day and said, God showed me something. It's going to ruin life as we know it. Our kids, they're going to mock our kids. Our kids may not be able to be just like everybody else's kids. They're going to be the kids of the crazy boat builder. And Noah needed help building that boat. You're going to have to spend your life, Mrs. Noah, helping me build whatever we build and send whatever we send. So whether you're building a boat or God's speaking to you to leave the boat, I want to tell you, a true missionary, your life's just different. One of the things I've dreamed about in my life is I've dreamed of a church filled on every chair with a missionary. With a building full of caring people. Who weren't so caught up in their own affairs and the things of this life and the things of this world. Nothing means. You know, when you try to find a true missionary, I've sat with them and I'm serious, there's nothing normal about them. They don't understand normal people. Whatever that, I use the word normal loosely. You know, you've probably had that thought too. You know, we think that so-and-so and so-and-so, they're crazy. There's something the matter with them. What if the opposite was really true and they were normal and we were crazy? Missionaries don't think like normal people. Missionaries, they never sleep good. Because there's always a legion. Somebody that's cutting themselves and crying. There's always a wicked world that needs hope. And the missionary's heart breaks with it. Then we get saved. And I mean, when I got saved, I fell so in love with Jesus. It's just real to me today, 44 years later, as it was the day I got saved. Because I was Legion. And I'm not playing church. I don't want to play church. And I don't believe in playing church. I believe in being a missionary. And the call of God to us today is leave the boat. You got what you came for. You got what you needed. Now, tear the cover off the boat and leave the boat. Let me show you. Let me put that up there for me, Beth. We're almost done here. Leave the boat. Say, leave the boat.
Leave the boat.
Say it again. Leave the boat.
Leave the boat.
Say, I will.
I will.
Leave the boat. All of you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Next verse. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground. And do this for this reason. So they can be fruitful and multiply through the earth. The reason we got to go is because we've got to multiply the missionaries. We got to multiply. We got to, like the animals, we got to get off the boat, multiply ourselves. My concern is this, simply said. I'm concerned we're staying on the boat, first of all, in disobedience. We're just hanging out playing church. And we're multiplying within the church. But what we're doing is we're multiplying and creating a bunch of just church members. And they don't have the mind that we're supposed to have, that I'm called to be a missionary. All of us are called by God to be a missionary. When Jesus came, Jesus, my master missionary, the Bible says he was rich. And that, I'm telling you, you got bad theology if you think that had anything to do with money. It's not money. He was rich in his person and who he was in the glory of God. He was rich in his eternal past. He was rich in being the Word of God in heaven and what he was and who he was. Of course it meant that he didn't have any needs and all that kind of stuff. But that would be the bottom of the ladder of what that word means there. He was rich. But he made himself poor so that by his poverty we might be made rich. What's that mean? That means that he was rich in what he was, but he became a human being. And compared to what he was when he was in a human body down in this cursed world that, by the way, would reject him and wouldn't receive that missionary. Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. That's why he came to the Jews, and what they do to him, they rejected him. You know, you better get used to as a missionary, not everybody listening to your word. Noah's case, nobody listened to his word, yet he was a great missionary. He wasn't a great missionary because of his results. He was a great missionary because of his heart and his obedience to God. And Jesus came, that the master missionary. He was rich, yet for our sakes, he poured himself out. He became poor, and he became one of us and dwelt among us. He came to his own, and his own received his not. They didn't receive the message of the missionary. And so, but I love that missionary because he didn't stop when he was rejected. And it says, and so he turned to the Gentiles. The missionary said, it's my job to preach to every creature. And so I'll go to my own first. And if I get rejected there, I'll go to those that have no place in the house of Israel. And the Gentiles began to receive him. The great missionary. What he did was he came, his will was for that to happen. I'm going to make you a missionary. And I want you to get off this boat, leave this boat. And make sure that everybody that's on this boat with you understands this is the way you reproduce and you multiply. You make another missionary. You make another goer. You make another teller. Or you become a master sender. With everything that's within me, with every breath I ever take on this planet, may God have mercy on me if I'm not a missionary. If I would ever get to the place physically, and I really do not believe that I will, I promise to God. So I promise, you know, I'm doing better physically and taking care of myself. I've done some of those adjustments. And that's, I'm serious, I made a vow to God in 1988, Sarah will tell you, to live that way the rest of my life. And I've been in some disobedience about that. That means something to me, man. For years, I was in great, great health, great weight, everything. I mean, I was awesome. You know when I struggled a little bit? After years and years and years and years and years of health, it's when I got discouraged. See, where there is no vision, people perish. I'm trying to give you a purpose to get up tomorrow morning one more time. And part of this is because I know that God's called me to renew my missionary heart. And so this is message one of this renewal. I know you're glad Jesus saved you, but leave the boat. You teach your babies. You got to leave the boat. I love church. I love this church. This church means the world to me. But all this is a missionary power station. All this should be is you come here and plug in your charger. I'd be like, you know, church people live like that, don't they? They think the purpose of the phone is just to get charged. So they just stay charging. Well, that's not what the phone's for, brother. You got to be charged. But then the phone's got a purpose. It's God's will for you to get charged. And I believe you need each other, and we need the house of God to get charged. You can't be the kind of missionary you need to be without, if your batteries always run down. And sometimes the way our worship is and the way we go after God, I think we need to plug it in. You can't just hang out by the charger. You got to plug into it. Huh? And once you plug into it, the will of God is for you to be charged, and then you get your purpose. I need to charge my battery in the Holy Ghost so I can leave this boat. So I can leave the boat. And so I can be fruitful and multiply and make other missionaries. God's will is for our boys and our girls, our children, all of them to be missionaries. Because there is a call. You know, one of the worst things we've ever done is separate, you know, we separate the clergy from the rest of the people. Hey man, we're all ordained. We're all called. And we're called to be missionaries. The greatest prayer you can pray over your babies is, God, make my baby a missionary like Jesus was, like Noah was, and like the disciples were. You know, when you pray that prayer, your baby will be a missionary. You risk it. That's a scary prayer, because being a missionary, I mean, it could be tough out there, man. Missionaries have lost their life. They cut them in half. They've beheaded them. They've persecuted them. They curse them. Most people don't understand them because they don't fit in with the world. Most people chasing their dreams. Years ago, there was a guy at one time, I think he was really right on track. Years ago, he started a program called Success in Life. Like that was the greatest calling, was for Christians to be successful in their life. And I was listening to some of that stuff one day, and I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me. And he said, I haven't called you to be a success. I've called you to be obedient. I've called you to come and die, not be successful. You come and die. God gives you success, so be it. That's his business. But if he doesn't, I know this. I'm still a missionary. I don't think we want to be found when Jesus comes back sitting in the boat singing Kumbaya. I think when Jesus comes back, he wants that boat emptied of everybody like Legion that got saved. And that everybody that was on that boat has left the boat and become a missionary. Let's bow our heads.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.